Today, the agenda for February 7, 2017 is an informational meeting. So I'd like to open the meeting for the information session and subcommittee budget overview.
Good afternoon, co-chair members of the subcommittee.
I did hit the gavel, didn't I?
Thanks.
Now, there it is, yeah. Okay.
If I may, co-chair, yesterday was the broad overview of the state budget, and today is a high-level overview of the subcommittee's budget and a few of the nuances specific to your subcommittee. So we should be out of here in good time. But I'll go through it. Be happy to answer any questions. And if you would like any kind of additional budget information offline, please let me know, and I'm happy to do that. So again, the General Government Subcommittee is comprised of 14 specific budget measures and 19 separate agencies. And why there's a difference there is that the legislative branch is a single budget measure, but it has the multiple legislative branch agencies within that budget measure. It's the Department of Administrative Services, Revenue, Public Employees Retirement System, Governor's Office, Secretary of State, State Treasurer, Employment Relations Board, Government Ethics, State Library, Advocacy Commissions, Construction Contractors Board, Board of Accountancy, and Board of Tax Practitioners, and of course the legislative branch. So at the high level, these agencies in the subcommittee provide a whole range of services, everything from retirement benefits to labor relations, government ethics and lobbying, oversight, library services, of course, income and property tax administration, construction contracting, the regulation of that field. The Secretary of State provides auditing, records management, information technology auditing, financial and performance auditing. The treasurer provides cash management, bonding, and investment activities. And of course, the legislative branch has its own activities of administration for committee services, the assembly itself, the offices of council, revenue, and fiscal, and then the Commission on Indian Affairs. This program area for the general government also includes the pass-through funding for some Oregon Public Broadcasting, state and county fairs, and the Oregon Historical Society. This is a high-level view of the subcommittee's budget, and this is the format you'll see with the individual agencies that come through. The table shows the actuals closed from the prior biennium, the 13-15 biennium. They show the budget through December of 2016, the legislatively approved budget for this current biennium. And just so you recall, the approved budget is the budget with all of the changes to it. So this, you come out of session with an adopted budget, the short session in February, and the e-board or a special session makes changes to that, and it becomes the approved budget. So this is the most up-to-date budget you have available to you for this current biennium. During this session, it will be an early session omnibus bill that makes changes to this further, but at this point that's currently in process. You have the current service level. Again, that's the current law budget with the roll-up costs and no enhancements or reductions, and then you have the governor's budget. So again, this is the standard format you'll see. The total budget for your subcommittee is $12.8 billion, 3,385 positions, and 3,136.68 full-time equivalents. How your subcommittee compares to the rest of the state budget? The rest of the state budget is in the neighborhood of $72 billion, and you have about 18% of that budget. And there's some nuances that we'll discuss here because that is a significantly larger proportion than most people understand, and we'll get into the details here shortly. For as far as the statewide budget, general fund and lottery fund, the subcommittee has under 2% of that budget. So out of the total at the current service level, the statewide budget is $21.3 billion, and this subcommittee only has about $381.4 million combined lottery and general fund. So the subcommittee's budget by fund type, the major fund type categories, 96.9% of it is other funds for $12.4 billion. The $10.5 million of federal funding, $354.7 million general fund, and then $26.7 million lottery funds. As far as expenditure categories, 86% of this subcommittee's budget is in special payments, which we'll talk about here shortly. There's $468 million of debt service, personal services of $648.6 million, services supplies of $616.7 million, and then some capital outlay of $37.8 million. The next slide shows where the general and lottery funds are by agency and non-governmental entity. And as you'll note, the bulk of the subcommittee's general fund budget resides in the Department of Revenue, almost 80% of it overall. So that's pure general fund. The other funds dollars in this subcommittee reside predominantly in the Department of Administrative Services. So, as the discussion was yesterday, it's an assessment-based agency for part of its functions, and so there's some indirect general lottery and federal funds embedded within there, but for budget purposes, it's categorized as other funds. So that gives you a good perspective of the complexity you're dealing with. Pure general fund on one side, and then the other funds on this side, and where they're located by agencies. Where your positions are located follows that. So the positions are primarily located in the Department of Revenue, the blue line being positions, and the orange line being FTE. So it's the Department of Revenue followed by the Department of Administrative Services for the bulk of your positions. This is kind of like a tale of two cities on this budget, so we'll get into that tale real quick. You have the total funds budget, which we've been talking about. It includes all four fund types: general, lottery, federal, other, and federal, and it includes other funds that are limited and the other funds that are non-limited. The non-limited expenditures, as we kind of talked about yesterday, are the expenditures for legislatively defined purposes, but which are outside the agency's control. We'll get into a little bit more detail on that here in a slide or two. It also, the total funds budget includes contractually mandated debt service payments. Those are things mainly in this area for information technology projects and some capital construction projects. So that's the big picture. That's the complete picture. And what I'm going to try to do now is define kind of a more focused picture of the subcommittee's budget, and that is this concept of an operating budget. It still includes all four fund types. However, it excludes the non-limited expenditures and the contractually mandated debt service. So what it does is it provides a focus for the subcommittee on those expenditures that are actually subject to expenditure limitation or for general lottery fund appropriation or allocation. And why are we doing this? Because the bulk of that over $12 billion budget in your subcommittee is non-limited other funds and debt service. Only 9% is this operating budget. And why is that the case? The non-limited expenditures in your subcommittee, 99% of them are retiree benefits that are non-limited. The Department of Administrative Services has some, also has some non-limited expenditures, I think associated primarily with risk management, and the Ledge Branch has a small sliver of non-limited expenditures.
Mr. Co-Chair? Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. John, could you just take a moment and go through the term limited and non-limited again?
Yes.
Just to make sure we're all understanding what that might mean.
We, our office actually has a brief out there, so let me just reference some of the specific language in that because it's an important concept for your subcommittee. So that the non-limited expenditures and the limited expenditures, that the limited expenditures in your budget bills will actually limit the agency's ability to spend X amount up to that amount of other or federal funds. The non-limited is a generic line in their budget appropriation bill that gives them the authority to expend money. That limit is adjusted administratively. So the issue here is that if we set, let's say, a number for PERS benefit payments, and any time the agency was up against that limit, they couldn't spend beyond it, it was limited, they would have to come in here and request an adjustment. That may be untimely. It may not fall when the legislature has authority to make that adjustment. Either the e-board's not in session or the legislature's not in session. And so, and also the variability of those payments. So there are certain categories of payments throughout the state, unemployment claims, some of the payments through DHS are of an unlimited nature. So that's where that arises. I'm not sure if that's sufficient, Co-Chair, but that's a start. Would you like me to go into more detail, or is that?
I would ask you, Mr. Co-Chair, and other members of the committee if that helps at all, because I, as you pointed out at the beginning, that's a really important concept for committee members to understand as
yes.
Limited versus non-limited.
Except for the most the larger non-limited payments, some of the smaller non-limiteds have been going away because of the fact that the legislature now is meeting in February. And more on more of a frequent basis, which means that they're actually in session and can make budget adjustments on a more timely basis. But there are some of these large payments that probably will always remain on non-limited status. So if we look at the operating budget and how it's comprised, we get a much different picture of the subcommittee's budget. We start looking at the other funds. It comprises still 72% or a large portion of the budget, but then general fund comprises much more. We still have the sliver of federal funds, which is limited, of course, and then the small lottery funds allocation. And for a different perspective of the operating budget, this is by expenditure category. So the bulk of the expenditures, over 50%, 55%, are personal service related. We have some service and supplies, capital outlay, and a much smaller special payments. And then where does that operating budget reside? The bulk of the operating budget resides, again, Department of Administrative Services, Department of Revenue, and the Public Employees Retirement System. So the 2017-19 current service level is about 8.6 more than the 2015-17 legislatively approved budget. Some of the key drivers of that change, again, are retiree benefits, the roll-up of debt service costs, position adjustments, inflation factors that are part of the budget instructions to agencies, and other adjustments within the budget.
John, can I ask other adjustments? I know that you're probably going to get to this as you continue on, but what examples of other adjustments are we talking about?
Co-chair, these are relatively minor other adjustments, technical in nature, and they are the phase in and phase out of one-time costs. They are also minor adjustments within agency budgets, but the main one is the phase in and phase out costs. So what those are, there you may approve a specific budget package that is one time in nature. And so as you start looking at next biennium's budget, that package would then come out of the budget. Conversely, you may approve a package this session for half a biennium, and next biennium you'll see it roll from 12 months to 24 months. So those are the type of other adjustments within the budget. The main thing here that you're going to see when agencies come through is that a significant amount of phase outs. So somewhere in the neighborhood of just under $90 million of one-time costs coming out. A lot of those are related to major projects, information technology projects, and other things that were at the time one-time in nature.
So there's a possibility that we maybe see some savings or some money coming back in, or?
Co-chair, they're already reflected in the budget, so there'll be no additional savings. So
I thought I should give it a shot.
That's a good thing. So so the budget issues facing the subcommittee are the standard ones that are going to be faced by most subcommittees. There are a few unique ones that I'll point out. The first one is just the potential difficulty continuing current general fund programs and services within the target determined by the co-chairs. There are several agencies that have revenue shortfalls. And so revenue shortfalls, that's another funds issue. And that is they have a certain amount of expenditures, but the ability to finance those expenditures or fund them is below what's needed. And so they have a gap. This one in particular, the largest one is in the Department of Revenue with their property tax division. The next item on your agenda will be the standard review of state agency assessments. So you have a handful of agencies that are assessment-based, Department of Administrative Services being the largest one, Employment Relations Board, State Library, Government Ethics Commission. So those assessment-based agencies, again, that portion of their budget looks like other funds, but there's indirect general fund to it, so it requires a lot of effort to kind of get in deep on those.
Yes.
Chair Benning, thanks. Can I ask a question? This is kind of just it's kind of a process question, and it's maybe a little bit in the tall weeds there. But if the state of Oregon taxes a citizen for a dollar, and then the Department of Fish and Wildlife has to buy gas for one of their trucks, so they give that dollar to a gas station, then that's a dollar that came into the state treasury, and then it left that. So that was just $1. But if the Department of Fish and Wildlife taxes a citizen, or it doesn't really matter what the source of that is, or gets a federal grant or whatever for a dollar, and then they have an assessment from, for instance, the Department of Justice for legal services or something like that. And then, so that the Department of Fish and Wildlife is going to record that as an expense, and then the Department of Justice is going to record that as revenue, and then they're going to pay a lawyer's salary, let's say, and then that dollar then leaves the state then. So in that case, that dollar is going to get counted twice. And so we don't really have a $71 billion budget, do we? We have something less than that. Do you know how much less? And
Representative, I can do some research for you, but there's a technical budget term that is used, and it's specific, so I will get clarification for you, but there are certain expenditures that are called non-ad to eliminate that duplicative counting of the budget. Now, that doesn't entirely eliminate it, but there is an attempt to eliminate some of that, but I can get you more specifics.
I don't ever see that term in any of the budget documents then. Do you just, for our convenience, just not include it? Because I get it that it's not all that substantive of an issue or anything like that. It's not like a dollar's being stolen by Superman's nemesis or something like that. I don't ever see that term in any of the budget documents, non-ad.
Well, Representative, the one thing is you know, the agencies would still require expenditure limitation, which is the subcommittee's focus, whether it's the Department of Fish and Wildlife or the Department of Justice generally, to account for those expenditures. So that's the main focus, and that explains.
That's fine. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Coach. I was interested in your comment about how the Property Tax Division of Revenue falls short in its revenues, essentially. Is that because they're performing services for local governments that aren't reimbursed, or why? What's specific about that department within revenue that's a problem?
If I may, co-chair, the county assessment function funding account is funded through primarily document recording fees, mm-hmm. And other activities. It's an other fund source,
mm-hmm.
and that other fund source over the last multiple biennia is not keeping the flow of that revenue is not keeping pace with the growth of expenditures within the program. So
we would have to increase that recording fee if we wanted those to balance out.
And Representative, there are some statutory requirements which makes brings in a level of complexity to that change. The county assessment function funding account is statutorily directed to have 90% go to counties and 10% to the Department of Revenue. So the 10% under the current revenue projections is insufficient to fund their activities. So that's a level of complexity where it's not just changing the, mm-hmm. the flow of funds. There actually would have to be a statutory change under that particular option. There are other options. The other option is to backfill with general fund, which is what the department has requested. And of course, the third option would be to reduce expenditures to align them with available revenues. So there's several items that the subcommittee will have to consider with that budget.
Thank you.
Getting back to this list of the focus areas for the subcommittee this session will be revenue collections and revenue generation, the standard. There'll be the funding of critical investments above the current service level. There'll be information technology investments that you'll have to evaluate. And then there'll be some agency reorganizations that you'll be looking at as well. So this is a pretty short presentation. It's the general overview and flavor of the subcommittee's budget and agencies. And what will happen next in the subcommittee is that tomorrow you're going to have a quick work session, but then on Thursday the Department of Administrative Services is going to come in and give their assessment overview as just background and foundational knowledge. And then the following week, you'll get right into the meat and potatoes of the subcommittee, the Department of Administrative Services budget, and the Chief Information Officer's budget, one and the same, but you'll discuss those next week. So at that point, you'll again start getting a lot more information and a lot more detailed information by agency. The LFO will be producing and placing on OLIS. There are two pagers on each agency highlighting the major issues in the budget. You'll be getting the agency's budget, governor's budget narrative, that is the large document electronic document to wade through. You'll be getting a CFO's review of the governor's recommended budget. And then the agency itself will come in with PowerPoint presentations and go through in detail their program structure, organizational chart, reduction options, and other issues that they may have that were highlighted in the presentation guidelines that were provided to all agencies. So with that, Mr. Co-Chair, my presentation is finished.
Thank you, John. Before you leave, around the table, anyone have any questions regarding the information that was just put out or anything that you want to add at this time?
I have one question, Mr. Co-Chair. You listed the PERS in there at $10.9
million? Billion, actually.
Billion, okay. Yeah. That's what I was curious about. And that's the total liability or... how much money you have in the account?
Senator, those are retiree benefit payments that are that the agency is projected to going out of the agency. So it's entirely different from the actuarial unfunded liability of the agency, which is of the PERS system, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 billion after taking into account the prepaid employer contributions. So separate issues, if that helps.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions from the committee? No further questions. I just want to kind of do a reminder about tomorrow, since it is going to be a work session and we're going to be needing votes. To move on, so you know, if everyone can be you know, here bright and early or as early as possible, at least on time, so we can get started. I don't want the co-chair to think that I kind of you know, muddied the water a little bit, knowing that he's up tomorrow. So really appreciate it. Any other business with staff? Anything? Okay. Nope.
You mean we're done early?
Unfortunately, I know that you're disappointed, but we're...
You know how to run a committee.
Yeah, exactly.
So, with no further business, then we are adjourned till tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
You're good.
3 o'clock.
You're good.